Last week, if you recall, we talked about the power of the Lord's Supper. This week, I'd like to talk with you about the power of baptism, the power of the waters of baptism. Is there power in that, in the waters of the Lord's baptism? Is there power in your baptism? Is the hand of God at work in your baptism to wash you of your sins, to rebirth you, to give you new life, a totally new relationship with God, a new everything, a deliverance, a rescue, a great change, a new identity? Is there actually a saving work of God in the waters of baptism? Or is baptism, as some say, just an outward symbol only, something that you do for God, going public with your faith and words like that? Or is baptism really God's work, that he does something for you that you can also even today lay hold of for a strengthening for your faith in the journey you have through this world to God above? So let's take a look today at baptism and see what God's word, the Bible, says about it for your encouragement and help in Christ today. Baptism and its power, what can we say of that? Well, first of all, let's just affirm something we know. The gospel is that you are justified by faith alone in Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
We were dead, says the Bible, in our trespasses, and we were walking and following the course of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the devil. That's now at work in the sons of disobedience. We were all totally depraved, totally lost, condemned sinners, of course, and you know, God, in his love, sent his only begotten Son into the world to die for you, to set you free, to rescue and deliver you, that whosoever believes on him should not perish but have eternal life. So God saved us at the cross. That's the victory. That's the purchasing of your salvation. Amen?
Amen.
But that would do us no good unless it were carried from that to us, that we, hearing that good news gospel, could believe it and be saved. So he has means through which he brings the cross, its victory, and all the fruits of it to you personally to save you. What is the principal chief means he does that? Is the preacher. How can men call on Christ's name unless they have a preacher sent to them that they hear it and believe it and get justified and get saved? So the cross, Jesus saved us there, the victory, the purchase, the salvation. A preacher then carries that word through the preaching of the gospel, the good news. You then hear it, believe it, receive it, and get saved. Amen?
Amen?
So there is the salvation, and then there is a means through which God brings it to us, the preacher. That's the chief number one way. We have to have a preacher to hear it, to believe it, to be saved. So we're saved and justified, you are, by faith alone in Christ, by hearing his name and calling upon him and what he's done for you. So let's talk about baptism, though. Is baptism also a means through which God carries to us the fruits of Christ's victory and salvation he won at the cross to bring it to you personally, that he might do a saving work also for you there in those waters? Now, the moment you believe, you're saved, but is there salvation language used by the Holy Spirit and the apostles in the scriptures concerning salvation with respect to the waters of baptism? Let's take a look at that and see what power is at work for you. So, number one, let's take a look at the power of access and entrance into the kingdom of God. Is that power given in the waters of baptism? Let's take a look. John chapter 3. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God's with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So you got to be born again, right, Corrine? Very necessary to see the kingdom. Nicodemus is like, how? He says, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born. How do you get born again? In other words, says Nicodemus. And Jesus says, I'll just turn the page here. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So you gotta be born again to enter the kingdom, right, Bill? How do you do it? You get into your mother's womb again and get born out of there again? No. Jesus says, this is how you get born again, by water and the Spirit. What is he talking about? Baptism. I mean, come on, what other water is there that you use as a Christian spiritually? He's not talking about brushing our teeth or washing our hands. It's the spiritual water, born of water and the Spirit. Is there an access and an entrance into the kingdom of God granted to you in baptism? Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter. But if you are born again of water and the Spirit, you can. Does it sound like there's access and entrance granted through baptism? God carrying the fruits of that cross to you personally, that you now have, if you will, in a sense, a passport. You are marked as his own. You're a citizen of heaven. You can enter the city legally by the gates. Because, you know, in heaven, not to get political here, but there is no illegal immigration. Okay? Heaven has a huge wall. If you read it in Revelation 21, a huge, big, beautiful wall. And it has a big, beautiful door, but there's only one door, and it's narrow, and it's Jesus Christ. And you gotta enter heaven legally. Unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you can't enter. You can't get in over climbing over the wall or burrowing under or in any other way. Jesus says, I'm the door. You enter by me. Now, is that faith? Absolutely. In John chapter 1, we read that Jesus came to his own home, remember? And his own people didn't receive him, but as many as received him who believed in his name, that's faith, he gave the power to become children of God. So you're born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You're born through faith. Amen, Maggie? But here we see that same language two chapters later in John chapter 3, referring to baptism. You're born this way, again, of water. Notice, water and the Spirit. Not the water alone, but the Spirit in and with and through the water, doing something for you to rebirth you, to make you a citizen, that you can enter the city of God legally. And so baptism grants, through the Spirit's work to you, to all who believe, that is, access, the power of entrance into the kingdom of God, and that great strong encouragement that you will enter the city by the gate through what God's done for you there. So that's the number one great power, is the power we see of access and entrance. You've got to be born of the water and the Spirit to enter. That's a great power. That's a great confidence for you today. Amen, Zuleika? Amen. The second great power that we see in God's book and Scripture that's laid out for us in baptism, in these waters, is the power to wash away your sins. Do you need that, Dick? We all need that, right, Judy? We're all depraved. We need to be saved and washed. Is there a washing away of sins in baptism for you, and the confidence that if you're baptized today, you are washed, and it continually washes you? Well, let's take a look at Acts chapter 2. We read there that this is Pentecost. Peter has preached, you know, to all these Jews that had gathered together from every place, and he preached to them that Christ was crucified, that he's the Lord of all, that he was raised from the dead on the third day. He ends the sermon like this. How would you like your sermon to be ended like this? He says, let all the house of Israel therefore know assuredly that God has made him be both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. End of sermon. Wow. Bang, zing, he hits them. What a stinging word. And indeed it did sting them, for it says, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. They felt the conviction. Yeah, we did kill the author of life. They say to Peter, what shall we do? What was Peter's answer? He says, repent and be baptized. Say the word baptized.
Baptized.
Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. So, last week we said as Lutherans, if we want to arrive at a Lutheran theology, we just repeat the scripture back verbatim. Don't change the words. Don't reinterpret it. Repeat it back verbatim. Say amen and I believe. So what do we believe about baptism? Repent, be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Repent, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Means, here it is, watch carefully. It means repent, be baptized, and for the forgiveness of your sins. So is there a washing away of sins in baptism according to Peter? Yeah, that's power for you. We need to be spotless to enter the kingdom. That's why access comes through baptism, because in it there is a washing that you are now fit to enter the kingdom by the gates, because you're clean and can enter and come into the presence of God. Is that the only place that the scriptures teach that there's a washing of sins in baptism? When Paul was recounting his conversion and how he got saved, and he's there and he says, one Ananias came to me, a man, you know, well versed and a good Jew, etc., according to the law and all these things, came and said, brother Saul, receive your sight. In that very hour I received my sight and saw him. And Ananias said to Paul, the God of our fathers appointed you to know his will, to see the just one, to hear a voice from his mouth, for you will be a witness to him for to all men of what you've seen and heard. And now, why do you wait? Rise and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on his name. Is there a washing away of sins in baptism based on that, Corrine? I mean, what does it say? Rise, be baptized, wash away your sins. How do you read it otherwise? But our interpretation, this is very tricky, in our denomination is this. Rise, be baptized, wash away your sins means, rise, be baptized, and wash away your sins. But notice, calling on his name. So that's faith. Faith has to receive what is done there in the waters for you in baptism by the Spirit. The Spirit carries it to you in baptism. Faith receives it. Luther said, I won't look up the whole thing, but in our Lutheran Confessions here, the big book, right? The Lutheran Confessions, Book of Concord, Luther says, without faith, baptism is of no use. No use. He says, just by allowing the water to be poured over you, this is in the Large Catechism, you don't receive or retain baptism in any such way as it does you in any good. But it becomes beneficial to you if you accept it as God's command and ordinance, so that baptized in God's name, you may receive in the water the promised salvation. It's faith that saves you because of what God's done for you. You get preached to you the gospel, you believe it, you're saved. You're saved that moment. But in these waters, we have salvation language, and faith receives it there as well, that you are saved and washed. Rise, be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on his name. Now, how can water do that for you, though, John? Can water actually save you? Water by itself? No. Is it your work or is it God's work? Let's take a look at another place, Ephesians chapter 5, and see whose work really is baptism and washing you. In Ephesians chapter 5, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, having as Christ loved the church. So who is that? Jesus Christ loved his church. It says, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that's on the cross, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, without blemish. So how did God save us? By the washing of water with the word. And who does that, Nancy? Who's the chief actor in that one, you or Jesus? Jesus Christ. So how does baptism save you? It's not your work. You come, yeah, but it's Jesus Christ who does the cleansing of his church by the washing of water with the Word. It's the Word of God that saves you in those waters, not the water themselves, but the Word attached to those waters. And God's Word always does whatever He has sent it to accomplish. It never returns to Him empty. He creates the world by His Word. Jesus is the Word. The water with the Word washes you in those waters according to His promise. That's what Peter said at Pentecost, for the promise is to you and to your children, to everyone whom the Lord our God calls to Him. So these are great words. Are you actually washed today, you bride of Christ? You are in the waters by Jesus Christ. Praise God for that. That's power once again. Number two. The third power that we see in Scripture in these waters is that it unites you to Jesus Christ. Say the word united. To Jesus Christ, to His death, that is His cross and salvation, and to His resurrection. You're immersed with Him in baptism, buried, and you're raised and connected to His life, new life as well, in these waters. Really true? Let's take a look. Romans chapter 6. Paul says, "Do you not know that all of us who've been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we've been united with Him in a death like His," that's through baptism, "we shall also be united with Him in a resurrection like His." Are you united to Christ, Greg? And do you have confidence before God that you indeed are? This is the work in baptism to you, to unite you. You know, He saved us there, but He's got to bring it to us here. He brings it to us in these waters here that we then get connected to what He did there. Therefore, there becomes here and is effective for you personally, that you're saved. Connected to His death, that's salvation. Connected to His life, that you have a new life, a new relationship, a new everything. For if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation, a new creature. The old's gone. The new has, what's passed away, the new has come. So are you a new creature through baptism? Is that power? That's what God does for you, because He loves you and He makes you His own. We read there in Titus 3, "We ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by men and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us." Who's the subject of that verb? He saved us. God is the active agent here. "Not because of deeds done by us in righteousness, but in virtue of His own mercy." And how? "By the washing," say washing,
washing,
"of regeneration," say regeneration,
"regeneration,
and renewal in the Holy Spirit, which He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that we might be justified by His grace and become heirs and hope of eternal life. The saying is sure." So you're united with Christ and you're washed there by whom? God saves you. Jesus previously in Ephesians 5 washes you. Who saves you here? By the washing and regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Who's doing it? It's the Spirit. You got to be born of water and the Spirit. It's the Spirit who's the active agent, the subject of the verb, doing something for you marvelously, graciously, to make you God's own. Uniting you with Christ in His death, uniting you in His resurrection, gifting you new life and a new relationship with God. Because you're baptized in or into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Just like Beth, in a kind of sense, was baptized into my name when she became betrothed and married to me. My name became hers. We're baptized into His name. His name becomes ours. And we are His and He is ours. We become His own in these wonderful waters. This is the gift of God to you. "For as many as were baptized into Christ," says Paul in Galatians chapter 3, as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. He's made you citizens of heaven. And watch this, new life now, but new life also to come. For if we've been united, say that again,
united,
with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. For a new life today and a new life there, as he was raised, because I live, you also shall live, and I will raise you up. You've been baptized into my name. You're mine. I'll raise you up. So it's the power of uniting you to Christ, his death, and his resurrection. Ready for number four? You with me? He gives you the power of the Holy Spirit in you in baptism, the gift. Again, what's Peter say at Pentecost? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. We covered that one. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know what? If we have the Holy Spirit, you got everything, right? Every gift comes with him. He's the package deal. If you have him, you have everything. If you don't have him, you have got nothing. If you have him, you have everything. Is he given to you in baptism? He just said, be baptized, and the gift of the Holy Spirit shall be given to you. When does the Holy Spirit come to us? You know, there's a few times in Scripture. You know, he comes whenever he wills, wherever he wills. He's free agent. In the Acts chapter 10, remember the first Gentile, what was his name? Who knows it? Cornelius. When he came to faith, just before he was baptized, because this is a special instance, it says, as Peter was saying this, preaching the gospel, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And Peter says, can anyone forbid water from baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? So just a minute before baptism, they get the Holy Spirit, because this is a, you know, the first Gentiles becoming saved. But notice it's connected to baptism. Amen? Within the same minute, baptism, Holy Spirit together. In Acts chapter 8, he comes a little after baptism, another special instance, when the Samaritans, half-breed Jews in a sense, in Samaria, were the first, when they first came to faith in Christ, because remember, they were preached to by Philip, and then Peter and John came down and prayed that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for it had not yet fallen on any of them, because they'd only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Interesting, isn't it? Notice, baptism and Holy Spirit are connected there, but they had a different formula, not in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so they came down, laid hands, and they received it. But notice, baptism and the Holy Spirit are connected. Amen?
Amen.
One more. Look at Paul. When he met believers at Ephesus, he found disciples, it says, and he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, no, we've never even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Notice what Paul's go-to is. He says, next thing he says is, into what then were you baptized? In other words, you don't have the Holy Spirit and you're believers? What on earth is going on? Let's get into it. Let's go to the first thing we got to talk about, baptism. What was going on there? And they say, we were baptized into John's baptism. And Paul says, oh, I get it now. That makes sense. That's why you didn't get the Holy Spirit. John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who's to come after him. That's Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. He laid his hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Again, connected to baptism. Those are some special instances, but the chief one, Acts chapter 2, is repent, believe, be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Do you have him today? You got him, Gianna? I baptized you, actually, when you were little. He gifted you the Holy Spirit. Faith, of course, receives him, and that, if you have him, you have everything. There is power, is what I'm saying to you today. Might, strength, ultimate power in these waters, the gift of the Holy Spirit. He is the guarantee of your down and the down payment of your inheritance and the sealing of it until you acquire possession of it at Christ's coming to the praise of his glory. And also, number five, one more here, baptism has the power, watch this, to save you. Really? Well, let's take a look. Does God actually, can water save you? Yeah. By itself? No. Can God save you? Yes. Can God save you through water? Yes, he can. Has he done so in the past? Look at Naaman, 2 Kings 5, the Syrian. He had leprosy. Remember? A deadly disease, basically. He dips 7 times in the Jordan River, and out he comes fresh like a newborn baby, healed and clean. You see, the priests in the Old Testament, if you tried to enter into the Holy of Holies, or the holy place, I should say, without going to the laver where the water was and washing first, what happened to you? God would kill you. But you enter through the water, and you live in God's presence, and you're accepted. You have entrance, and you're accepted there. If you look at Jonah, he was saved through water. If you look at Israel, they were saved through the Red Sea, which Paul even uses the word in 1 Corinthians 10. They were baptized in the sea. And, of course, what's the big event of being saved through water? Wilma. The big, big, big water event. Noah. The whole world flooded. And what does Peter say with respect to that in 1 Peter 3, verse 20? It says, God's patience waited in the days of Noah during the building of the ark in which a few, that is 8 persons, were saved through water. Saved through water, Noah. And then he says in the next verse, baptism, which corresponds to this. It relates to Noah getting saved through water in the flood. Baptism now saves you, says Peter. Not as if you're just removing dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a clear conscience, forgiveness, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, etc. So, is there a saving work of God through water to you, God being the active agent in baptism? Amen. Again, you want a Lutheran theology? Repeat it back verbatim. Peter says, baptism now saves you. We say, okay, baptism now saves you. Amen. It's a work of God, the Spirit, Jesus Christ, and God the Father to do these marvelous things for you, bringing the fruits of the cross to you personally, faith, therefore, also receiving it, you're saved. For apart from faith, baptism is of no use, says Luther. God, through baptism, says Luther, works forgiveness of sins, delivers from death and the devil, and gives eternal life to all who believe, as the words and promises of God declare. Therefore, what confidence can you have today in God and your salvation through the work of God in the waters of holy baptism? Hear these words again, friends. Rise, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on his name. Christ cleanses church by the washing of water with the word. Unless a person be born of water and the Spirit, he can't enter the kingdom, but if you have it, you can. God saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewal in the Holy Spirit. Be baptized and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you've, as many as were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Baptism now saves you. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And if we've been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. That's all Scripture. And so, when the devil attacks you and troubles come, you can say, be gone, devil, and troubles trouble me no more. For I am baptized. I am the king's man. The king's own name has been placed upon me, marked as his own. And I am in the king's highway. And I'm going forward, and nothing can stop me, for he has, through Christ, made me more than a conqueror through him who loved me. You are marked for heaven and the new world in the kingdom to come. That's power, friends. That's power, the power of God in these waters. the waters of baptism. Amen.